We're looking today at then and now. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That was our scripture reading for today. And we know He is, and we praise God for it. But not all of us are. If you're looking at the slide up here, one of them says thinking to God, the other one says thinking to how many football games there is to choose from. It says then, that was then, and this is now, unfortunately. For many of us, this is the case. Easy Eddie, born September 5th, 1893, died November the 8th, 1839, many years ago. The famous gangster Al Capone named Easy Eddie. Al Capone virtually owned Chicago. He was notorious for immensing the Windy City and everything from bootleg booze and prostitution to murder. Capone had a lawyer nicknamed Easy Eddie. That sounds like quite a name to me. He helped run Capone's horse and drag track operation in Chicago. He was his lawyer for good reason. Eddie was very good. In fact, Eddie's skill at legal maneuvering kept Big Al out of jail for a long time. Listen to this. Eddie's estate was so large that it filled an entire Chicago block. Many of us think we live in nice homes today, and we do. But that was quite a residence there. Eddie lived the high life of the Chicago mob, and gave little consideration to the atrocities that went on around him. Eddie did have one soft spot, however, as many of us do. He had a son that he was very devoted to and loved dearly, and despite his involvement with organized crime, Eddie even tried to teach him right from wrong. Eddie wanted his son to be better than a man than he was, yet with all his wealth and influence, there were two things that he couldn't give his son. He couldn't pass on a good name and a good example. One day, Easy Eddie reached a difficult decision. Easy Eddie wanted to rectify wrongs he had done. As many of us have, Eddie decided to secretly become an informant for the Internal Revenue Service, and it was with his help that the government convicted and imprisoned Capone for income tax evasion. Eddie's close confidants said that it was because of his son. Within a year, Easy Eddie's life ended in a blaze of gunfire on a lonely Chicago street. But in his eyes, he had given his son the greatest gift he had to offer at the greatest price he would ever pay. Police removed from his pockets a rosary, a crucifix, and a religious medallion and a poem clipped from a magazine. The poem read, "The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. And now is the only time you own, live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in time, for the clock may soon stand still." Today we're going to see when we do things matters. We can do wrong things early in life and correct them over time. However, if we do the wrong things late in life, it may be too late to change. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, may this message reach us all, me included, that I may understand what you want, the wisdom you have for me out of this message today. Father, I know it's not your conventional message, and I don't know why you gave me this to me to write, Lord, but I pray that it will reach me as well as others to learn what it means for life to be then and now, and let us know that it's not too late to turn our lives toward you, that you are our living sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to do something unusual. We're going to look at Leviticus 20. A lot of people don't believe in, a lot of churches, I should say, don't believe in going back to the Old Testament. But I praise God we are an all Testament church. And And I want you to go ahead and turn there. It will be on the board for those who don't have their Bibles with them or can't find a Bible. It will be on the screen. And we'll be looking at Leviticus 20, 1 through 3 to start with. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whoever be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones, and I will set my face against that man, and I will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto the Moloch to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name." He may think this doesn't go on to today. I believe it does. I believe we give up our children for many things. We'll send them to a nice school, to so where that we can be proud of them, or we may be able to give, God forgive me, give them up at birth for other things. And I'm one that later on, whenever I give my testimony to you, which I've been praying about, but I keep putting it off. Maybe God will give me the chance to tell you about it. But some people will give up their children for nothing. Says it will profane my holy name for anyone that does this. This is one of the artist's rendition of Moloch. And that some of the people delivering their children to Moloch to be burned in the fire. Says, and if indeed if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man, he will not give unto his seed the Moloch and not kill him, then I will set my face against that man. God is saying that it's not just if you give your seed to Moloch, but if you hide your face from those who do it, God is going to set his face against that man and against his family. Not just him. His family may not know about it. Now, all of a sudden, you're out of here, you know. And may not know the reason until God tells them. And all that go whoring after him to commit the whoredom with Moloch from the among their people in Leviticus 24 through 5. Now, if we look back, excuse me for looking at my notes, but I don't want to miss anything. This is God's message and it's not mine. Moloch literally killed their children. They literally killed their children and burned their bodies in worship to Moloch. Here it says Molech. You'll find out it's written many ways. Moloch, Molech, and we'll find out it's also by other names. Astaroth was the goddess of war and fertility called Ishtar by Assyrians and Babylonians. And called Astri by Greeks and Romans, and forgive me if I don't pronounce these right, and called Tanith by North Americans. They are still Astri poles in existence today, like the one in Ligram in India. Astri was supposedly the female counterpart to Moloch. Astri poles are still in existence today. Astri poles for the children's sake, I'll say that it's of a male anatomy is what they were made up of, to look like. And they are, like I said, was one especially in India that is, you know what it is right off the bat. The children of Israel weren't even supposed to mention their names in Exodus 23:13. It says, "And in all the kings that I have said unto you, be circumspect. And make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of that mouth." So they weren't even supposed to talk about these false gods. They weren't supposed to mention them at all. That was then. Now, here we are doing this today. How are we doing this today? Excuse me. Question. The gods have been renamed sexual freedom and a woman's right to choose. The religion is called pleasure and convenience. We do this today. We serve other gods today. We call them by a different name, maybe, but we still serve other gods. Today's Molech, or Moloch, is the abortion industry. I'm not the only one who feels this way, but I do believe it is today's Moloch. Sacrificing babies for idol or financial greed, veiled in the hopes of the development of new cures through biomedical research, where aborted baby parts are sold for profits, then the parts that are left are cremated. That's what they are doing today. That's the same as they did for Moloch in the early days. And said then, and those who did nothing to stop were also cut off from him and his family. Now we often support these actions by allowing Planned Parenthood and other similar organizations to go unchallenged. And this is one that really bothers me. So Congress just passed a bill that provides $500 million to Planned Parenthood. Now, I have a lot of respect for the officials in office right now, especially one. Our highest leader in charge right now, but he let me down on this. I never thought that he would allow this to happen. But he says that he, and I can understand this, being in the service, I delegated my authority to other people at times, and they would misrepresent me. And I think that this is what happened to him. Although we still need to take the responsibility for those actions. Now it says, and the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people in Leviticus 26. And the soul that turneth after him and have familiar spirits go after wizards and go whoring after them, I will set my face against that people. Now we have psychics that have their own TV shows and holiness, and hotlines. There's a new program which aired 4/8/2018 on TLC called the Long Island Medium. And if you can forgive me, because this is a hard message to preach this morning, but I'll do my best. Long Island Medium. I believe, according to this passage, that if we do nothing to protest this passage against, that God will hold us accountable also. We must obey the laws of the land today. However, we can vote those out of office that support such beliefs. We can do this. We can vote them out, and that's what we should do. But unfortunately, many of us are afraid to vote because we don't want to take on the responsibility. Well, I never voted for that guy. But we need to go out and vote. And I don't mean any politics in it. You vote the way that you feel that is right, that God is leading you to, and I'm sure God will bless it. So, sanctify yourselves in Leviticus 28, therefore, and ye be holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. In Leviticus 7 and 8, that was then. But do we keep God's laws today? God forgive me, I'm one that don't. I mess up all the time. And I look back and I say, why did I do that? But I think most of us do. We don't keep ourselves holy enough today either, probably. I know I don't. I should get down on my knees and beg for forgiveness every hour of every minute of every hour of every day to know that God will put back on me what I don't deserve, but is his love. But he gives us his love without us having to do that. And I praise God for it. So there are several reasons for the scripture. I'm going to read to you now real quickly that in Genesis 9:22 to 9:25. y'all don't have to turn there. I'll try to be quick. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the sickness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Now, we're talking about number 11, so the man that lieth with his father has uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall be surely put to death, their blood shall be upon them. So let's read what it means by to lie with one's father. It says in Genesis 9:22-25, it says, "And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness." 24, "So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said, 'Cursed be Canaan, and his servant of servants he shall be to his brethren.'" Cursed be Canaan. Notice he said, "Cursed be Canaan." Like I said, there's several views on this scripture of the Genesis account. In our message today, it says, "Thou shalt not uncover thy father's nakedness." One view is that this took place in the Bible between Ham and Noah's wife. The thing that we have to look at is it does say that uncover the father's nakedness means to lie with his father's wife. And some people believe that Ham done this. And another view is that not only did he lie with his wife, but Canaan was the result of the relationship of Noah's wife, because the Bible states that Ham, the father of Canaan, they believe this view because Noah said, "Cursed be Canaan" in Genesis 9:25. He didn't say, "Cursed be Ham," even though Ham was supposedly the one that lied with his wife. He said, "Cursed be Canaan." Well, who was Canaan? Canaan was the son of Ham. He was not only his first son, he was like his third son. So why would he say this if this was not the case? Well, it may or may not be the case. Some people believe it was. And finally, another view was in Leviticus 20:11, does not apply here because Ham was simply saw his father's naked body, which has been said that Ham did nothing to preserve his father's dignity in Genesis 9:22. "And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness." Now, I have to say this, that most Seventh-day Adventists, Baptists, along with many other denominations, accept this view as a Genesis account. I'll be truthful with you, I have researched and researched, and maybe y'all can help me out, but I cannot find what the Seventh-day Adventist belief is as far as Ellen White is concerned. Either way, it doesn't matter what it was. This act was a failure to honor thy father and thy mother according to God's holy law. And that is one of the Ten Commandments. So Ham done wrong. It doesn't matter whether he laid with his father's wife or whether he just disrespected his father by not covering him up. Ham did wrong. And we've already said this. Oh, can you think of anyone else that was in a similar situation? What about Reuben and Bilhah, Jacob's concubine? "And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in the land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it." In Genesis 35:22. Says, "And if a man lie with his daughter," in Leviticus 20:12, "lie with his daughter-in-law both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely die. God had strict rules in the old days. And I believe those strict rules apply for us today. The Bible, God, what was the scripture verse today? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So these laws, I think, in Jim Williams' opinion, that these laws apply in the old days and they apply in the new days unless God tells us differently. And as far as I know, God hasn't told us any different. What did God say about homosexuality? Like I said, this is a very controversial subject. Many of us have loved ones and ancestors and friends who practice this. But I'm telling you what the law says, the Lord's word says in Leviticus 20:13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall be surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, I'm not saying we should go out and kill with anybody. That's not our job. Again, we have laws. We have government. But if it comes to us and we are on a jury duty in which something comes up, and or we're allowed to vote in which something comes up, and it allows us to change the way that we live today and change our values today, we should do that according to God's word. Not according to my word. We should do it according to God's word. And I know that many times we have been in places, or some of us have, that's been allowing us to be able to change that, and we don't do it. Now anything goes. We can't seem to get it right in what we do today. Says if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no more wickedness among you in 2014. Why is God putting this in here? Well, he's putting this in here because either it happened then or it's happening now. And why in the world God gave me this message to preach, I don't know. He gave me this message to teach, not preach. I'm learning myself, and I learn from each one of these verses. But it says that there shall be no wickedness among you. You shall be cut off. The next verse, Leviticus 20:15-16, the next two verses, I should say, and if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. And if the woman approaches unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. Their blood shall surely, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them in 20:15-16. Yeah, I hate to say this. That was then. What about now? Bestiality is still in the world today. On 4/26/2018 of this year, Kenneth Logic Dyack was arrested for having a relationship with a horse in Washington, D.C. Folks, this is real. This is something that we have to put a stop to. We have to get back to the Word of God and change this world back to the way God initially intended for it to be. And there's also many of us who's heard of the dog and pony shows in Mexico. There was even rumored that a great queen once died from this horrific act. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. It's been questioned, and I don't have the answer. It doesn't matter, but it just goes to show you, if it was, that it's people are not extinct from, I should say, they are not away from this. It can happen to anybody. Anybody can do this act. said, and if a man should take his sister, his father's daughter or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she sees his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity. In Leviticus 20:17. Says, and if a man shall take his father's sister or daughter or his mother's daughter, father's daughter or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness. Isn't it strange how timing is so important in their lives? Because there was a man in the Bible who did just this. And it says that Abraham married his half-sister. It states in Genesis 20:12. Indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. But that was then. This was before the Ten Commandments were given. So it wasn't bad to do that. It was okay. And God does make exceptions. Now, I don't want to sound like he doesn't. He's made many exceptions. He was going to wipe out us, and thanks to Moses, he decided not to, but God does make exceptions. But in this case, he didn't have to because the Ten Commandments wasn't in place yet. And if a man lie with a woman having her sickness and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Cut off means to be killed in many instances. It means to be wiped out. Now, I don't need to say any more about this. God has said enough. And it's plain for us adults to understand. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of my mother's sister, nor my father's sister, for he hath uncovered his near kin. They shall bear their iniquity. And like we said before, Abraham was an example of this. And Amram took Jochebed. This here is Moses. Get this. This is Moses. I got a little bit ahead of myself. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister or the father's sister, for he uncovered his near kin, they shall bear their iniquity. Does anyone know of someone in the Bible that did this? Some people here may be surprised to know that the man that called God to lead his people, called by God to lead his people, is listed more than 822 times in the Bible. Moses did this. That his father married his aunt. Just think, if the Mosaic Law was written just one generation earlier, Moses might not ever been born, or we might be calling the Mosaic Law by Terrace Law or some other name. Inadequate stance. One generation before. And if a man lie with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. Now, some of these, God treats everybody different. We're all different human beings. And God may give us a law of repentance, allow us to ask for repentance, and God may forgive us like he did one of the kings in the Bible who God gave 15 years to. Another king said he was going to die that night, and he didn't repent, so God killed him that night. But anyway, in this circumstance, they shall die and be childless. In 20 and 21, it says, and if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness, they shall bear their sin, they shall die childless. Notice their degrees of punishment for family intimacies. It says, in 21, it says, and if a man takes his brother's wife, it is unclean thing, and I'm going to speed up just a little bit. I'm not going to go into depth of this, but anyway, says it is an unclean thing. If uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless. Same punishment here, however. It's important to note that later on in God's word, God says if a brother dies, then that other brother, the next of kin, should take that woman in to themselves and shall have relationship with her so where she can have her offspring to carry on in the dead father's name. Isn't that strange? But again, for time's sake, I will not go into these. Says that you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and do them, that the land where I bring you to dwell therein spew you at not out, and you shall not walk in the manners of the nation in which I cast out before you, for they are committed for all these things, and therefore I abhor them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess it. It is a land floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Has God separated us from other people today? Indeed he has. As Christians, we're supposed to be different from other people. But many of us aren't. Ye shall therefore put differences between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. I could go into another sermon on this in Leviticus, I believe it's 11. But we don't want to do that right now. It just says that God told us that we're supposed to separate us from unclean things. Now, we learned about the person that goes to a familiar spirit, or it goes to a medium, about how that they would be put to death. But what about the medium themselves, or the spiritual woman or wizard? It says, a man or also a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. In Leviticus 20:27. World War II produced many heroes. One such man was Lieutenant Commander Butch O'Hare. He was a fighter pilot assigned to an aircraft carrier in the South Pacific and was presented with the Congressional Medal of Honor. In case many of you don't know, it's the highest honor you can receive. Most of them receive it posthumously, but see the Medal of Honor for his actions against the Japanese in defending the USS Lexington. One day, his entire squadron was sent on a mission. Six Wildcats were sent into the air to protect the Lexington from Japanese bombers as the squadron of Japanese aircraft were speeding their way toward the American fleet. O'Hara and his wingmen spotted the enemy planes first. The wingmen's guns jammed. However, the other four planes were too far behind. He couldn't reach his squadron, and he knew that the fleet was all but defenseless. That was only one thing to do. He must somehow divert them from the fleet. So O'Hare faced nine twin-engine Japanese bombers alone. Butch wove in and out of now broken formation and fired as many planes as possible until all the ammunition was finally spent. Undaunted, he continued the assault. He dove at the planes, trying to clip a wing or a tail in hopes of damaging as many enemy planes as possible and rendering them unfit to fly. Finally, the exasperated Japanese squadron took off in another direction. The film from the gun camera mounted on his plane told the tale. It showed the extent of Butch's daring attempt to protect the fleet. He had, in fact, destroyed five enemy aircraft and damaged one. Butch became the Navy's first ace of World War II and the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. A year later, in November 1943, Butch O'Hare was killed during the Battle of the Gilbert Islands in the South Pacific. He was accidentally shot down by another American plane during a night mission at the age of 29. O'Hare Airport in Chicago is named in tribute to the courage of this great man. Now, so the next time you find yourselves in O'Hara International, give some thought to visiting Butch's memorial displaying his statue and his Medal of Honor. It's located between Terminal 1 and 2. Here's a picture of Butch O'Hara. I know that we all aren't soldiers. Some of us have been, and some of us are. We have some friends or relatives, loved ones that's in the service today, and we think of them, but I like to think of us in the Army today, soldiers in God's Army. as Christians we should be. And that's the reason that... So what do have these two stories got in common? First it was Easy Eddie, now it's Butch O'Hara. Butch O'Hara was Easy Eddie's father. What a great man he made his son into. But he sounds like he changed his life too, because he had a crucifix and the poem and things like that in his briefcase. God doesn't care where we've been. He only cares where we're going. Trust me, I know this. I was going the wrong direction one time, and as each of us Christians were, I'm sure, and we're going in the right direction now as long as we recognize that Christ is our Lord. In Leviticus 20:46, it says, "Be holy, for I am holy." So I pray now that as we sing the last song, that we remember that we are soldiers of Christ.